Chapter 4. Enter the P. Despereaux's brothers and sisters soon abandoned the thankless task of trying to educate him in the ways of being a mouse. And so Despereaux was free. He spent his days as he wanted. He wandered through the rooms of the castle, staring dreamily at the light streaming in through the stained glass windows. He went to the library and read over and over again the story of the fair maiden and the knight who rescued her. And he discovered finally the source of the honey sweet sound. The sound was music. The sound was King Philip playing his guitar and singing to his daughter, the Princess P, every night before she fell asleep. Hidden in a hole in the wall of the princess's bedroom, the mouse listened with all his heart. The sound of the king's music made Despereaux's soul grow large and light inside of him. "Oh," he said, "it sounds like heaven. It smells like honey." He stuck his left ear out of the hole and in the wall so that he could hear the music better, and then he stuck his right ear out so that he could hear better still. And it wasn't too long before one of his paws followed his head, and then another paw, and then, without any real planning on Despereaux's part, the whole of him was on display, all in an effort to get closer to the music. Now, while Despereaux did not indulge in any of the normal behaviors of mice, he did adhere to one of the most basic and elemental of all mice rules. Do not ever, under any circumstances, reveal yourself to humans. But the music made him lose his head and act against the few small mouse instincts he was in possession of. And because of this, he revealed himself, and in no time at all, he was spied by the sharp-eyed Princess P. "Oh, Papa," she said, "look, a mouse." The king stopped singing. He squinted. The king was nearsighted, that is. Anything that was not right in front of his eyes was very difficult for him to see. "Where?" said the king. "There," said the Princess P, and she pointed. "That, my dear P, is a bug, not a mouse. It is much too small to be a mouse." No, it's a mouse." "A bug," said the king, who liked to be right. "A mouse," said the pea, who knew that she was right. As for Despereaux, he was beginning to realize that he had made a very grave error. He trembled, he shook, he sneezed, he considered fainting. "He's frightened," said the pea. "Look, he's so afraid he's shaking. I think he was listening to the music. Play something, Papa." "A king play music for a bug?" King Philip wrinkled his forehead. "Is that proper, do you think? Wouldn't that make this into some kind of topsy-turvy, wrong-headed world if a king played music for a bug?" "Papa, I told you, he's a mouse," said the pea. "Please?" "Oh, well, if it will make you happy, I, the king, will play music for a bug." "A mouse," corrected the pea. The king adjusted his heavy gold crown. He cleared his throat. He strummed the guitar and started to sing a song about stardust. The song was as sweet as light shining through stained glass windows, as captivating as the story in a book. Despereaux forgot all of his fear. He only wanted to hear the music. He crept closer and then closer still, until, reader, he was sitting right at the foot of a king. Chapter 5. What Furlough Saw. The Princess P looked down at Despereaux. She smiled at him. And while her father played another song, a song about the deep purple falling over sleepy garden walls, the princess reached out and touched the top of the mouse's head. Despereaux stared at her in wonder. The pea, he decided, looked just like the picture of the fair maiden in the book in the library. The princess smiled at Despereaux again, and this time Despereaux smiled back. And then something incredible happened. The mouse fell in love. Reader, you may ask this question. In fact, you must ask this question. Is it ridiculous for a very small, sickly, bug-eared mouse to fall in love with a beautiful human princess named P? The answer is yes. Of course it's ridiculous. Love is ridiculous. But love is also wonderful and powerful. And Despereaux's love for the Princess P would prove, in time, to be all these things, powerful, wonderful, and ridiculous. "You're so sweet," said the princess to Despereaux. "You're so tiny." As Despero looked up at her adoringly, Furlough happened to scurry past the princess's room, moving his head left to right, right to left, back and forth. "Cripes!" said Furlough. He stopped. He stared into the princess's room. His whiskers became as tight as bowstrings. What Furlough saw was Despero Tilling sitting at the foot of the king. What Furlough saw was the princess touching the top of his brother's head. "Cripes!" shouted Furlough again. "Oh, cripes! He's nuts! He's a goner!" And executing a classic scurry, Furlough went off to tell his father, Lester Tilling, the terrible, unbelievable news of what he had just seen. Chapter 6. This Drum. "He cannot. He simply cannot be my son," Lester said. He clutched his whiskers with his front paws and shook his head from side to side in despair. "Of course he is your son," said Antoinette. "What do you mean he's not your son? This is ridiculous. This is a ridiculous statement. Why must you always make the ridiculous statements?" "You," said Lester. "This is your fault. The French blood in him has made him crazy." "C'est moi?" said Antoinette. "C'est moi? Why, must always be I who takes the blame. If your son is such the disappointment, it is as much your fault as mine." Something must be done," said Lester. He pulled on a whisker so hard that it came loose. He waved the whisker over his head. He pointed it at his wife. "He will be the end of us all," he shouted, "sitting at the foot of a human king. Unbelievable, unthinkable." "Oh, so dramatic," said Antoinette. She held out one paw and studied her painted nails. "He is a small mouse. How much of a harm can he be? Do?" "If there is one thing I have learned in this world," said Lester, "it is that mice must act like mice, or else there is bound to be trouble. I will call a special meeting of the Mouse Council. Together we will decide what must be done." "Oh," said Antoinette, "you and this council of the mouse. It is a waste of time, in my opinion." "Don't you understand?" shouted Lester. "He must be punished. He must be brought up before the tribunal." He pushed past her and dug furiously through a pile of paper scraps until he uncovered a thimble with a piece of leather stretched across its open end. "Oh, please," said Antoinette, and she covered her ears. "Not this drum of the council of the mouse." "Yes," said Lester, "the drum." He held it up high above his head, first to the north and then to the south and then to the east and then the west. He lowered it and turned his back to his wife and closed his eyes and took a deep breath and began to beat the drum slowly, one long beat with his tail and two staccato beats with his paws. Boom, tat, tat. Boom, tat, tat. Boom, tat, tat. The rhythm of the drum was a signal for the members of the Mouse Council. Boom, tat, tat. Boom, tat, tat. Boom. The beating of the drum let them know that an important decision would have to be made, one that affected the safety and well-being of the entire mouse community. Boom, tat, tat. Boom, tat, tat.